will call the remote hearing of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is March 24th, 2022. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows for remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will take attendance by roll.
Chair Hansen is present. Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz present.
Representative Heinzman. Representative Heinzman. Representative Akam.
Present.
Representative Ackland.
Present.
Representative Backer.
Backer present.
Representative Becker Finn. Representative Becker Finn, I see that she's in the room. Representative Ackland.
Present.
Representative Fisher.
Fisher present.
Representative Green.
Present.
Representative Igo.
Igo present.
Representative Jordan.
Jordan present.
Representative Keeler.
Keeler present.
Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert present.
Representative Lewick. Representative Lewick. Representative Morrison.
Morrison present.
Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
Representative Tice.
Tice present.
Looks like Representative Heinzman has joined us, correct?
Heinzman present.
Heinzman present. Representative Lewick. That's the only one I don't have.
Becker Finn is also present.
Yeah, Becker Finn present. All right, thank you.
Quorum is present. Representative Morrison, would you like to move the minutes of March 22nd?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to move the minutes from March 22nd.
Representative Morrison moves the minutes for March 22nd, 2022. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next up, members, we have House File 4377, Clean Water Fund Appropriations. I will turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I will move that House File 4377 be recommended to be re-referred to the Legacy Finance Committee, and I will move the DE3 amendment.
Representative Hansen has moved the DE3 amendment to get it before the committee. Any questions on the DE3 amendment?
I think we will, do we want to have staff walk through the DE amendment now, and then we will have the A1 amendment?
All right, Mr. Hagemeyer, is that you?
Sure, Madam Chair. I can do a walkthrough of the DE if you'd like. I'll just be walking through the document titled H4377DE3. I'll just go through the number of appropriations that are in here. On line 1.4 is an appropriation of the Department of Agriculture. It's to test for neonicotinoids in trout streams in southeastern Minnesota. On line 1.7, you'll see a rider, and you'll see this under a couple of agencies, is to monitor, test, and assess for microplastics and nanoplastics under some projects that were funded last year. This is language that was carried in the House bill last year, but wasn't in the final bill. But I'll point out the different spots that's at as well. On line 1.10 is the Pollution Control Agency. There's a few appropriations here. There's $2 million to monitor the tributaries, including trout streams near the shores of Lake Superior for, I'm just gonna say PFAS substances, and because it comes up a number of times here. On line 1.14, there's $2 million for enhanced monitoring of private wells in Washington County for PFAS substances. On line 1.17, there's $2 million to the PCA to monitor the Mississippi River for metals, PFAS, and other contaminants detected in Pig's Eye Lake. On line 1.20, there's $400,000 to monitor groundwater and surface waters in Battle Creek watershed for PFAS. On line 2.1, there's $2 million for the PCA to collect lead sinkers and other activities to improve water quality as part of the Get the Lead Out program. On line 2.4 is a $5 million appropriation to PCA to develop protocols for sampling, testing groundwater, surface water, drinking water, and private wells for microplastics and nanoplastics. And you'll see this appropriation can be transferred to the departments on 2.9, can be transferred to the Departments of Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Health. And that would go along with those riders that I pointed out under agriculture and we'll continue to point out under the other agencies. On line 2.20, you'll see the language for plastics related to the previous appropriations for the Pollution Control Agency. On line 2.23 is the start of the Natural Resources Department. There's $402,000 for the commissioner to prepare a report on Minnesota's peatlands in cooperation with Bowser. On line 3.4, ahead of myself, on line 3.4, there's $500,000 for a grant to Conservation Corps of Minnesota for restoration and enhancement activities to improve water quality, including stream bank stabilization. On line 3.7, you'll see the plastics assessment language for micro and nanoplastics for the Natural Resources Department. On line 3.10, there's $7.665 million for the basically the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. On line 3.18, you'll see there's a blank for a deposit and a monitoring and enforcement account. I believe the A1 amendment addresses that, and it should be $436,000. On line 3.20, there's $7.665 million for basically similar work on peatlands. And again, on line 3.28, it would be $436,000, and that's addressed in the A1 amendment. On line 3.29 is the Metropolitan Council. There's $7.665 million for grants to cities and other public water suppliers to replace privately owned portions of residential lead drinking water service lines. And this is supposed to be used to supplement any money under the Federal Infrastructure Act in order to cover 100% of the cost of replacing these lines. On line 4.3 is the University of Minnesota. There's $437,000 to optimize detection methods to determine environmental occurrence and evaluate the risk to Minnesota's fish populations of the toxic chemical 6-PPDQ. On line 4.7 is the Public Facilities Authority, and there's $7.665 million for lead service line replacement grants. Again, these should be used to supplement the federal infrastructure money and cover the 100% of the cost of replacing the lines. And then subdivision 8 is just the availability language for the appropriations. And that is all I have, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer. And Mr. Hagemeyer did mention that A1 amendment. Representative Hansen, do you want to move the amendment?
I would move the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape I would like.
And can you just remind us what that amendment does, Representative Hansen?
That was filling in the blanks on the easement components on line 3.28. And Mr. Hagemeyer could maybe correct me if I'm wrong. But on 3.28 and 3.18.
Yes, nodding, so that is correct. Any questions on that A1 amendment? I don't see any questions, so Representative Hansen has moved the A1 amendment to the DE3. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, would you now move the DE3 amendment as amended?
I would move the DE3 amendment as amended.
All those in favor of the DE3 amendment as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, to your bill as amended, if you have anything else to add besides the walkthrough that Mr. Hagemeyer did.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee and Minnesotans. The appropriations that Mr. Hagemeyer delineated are based on testimony we have heard throughout the year. If you listen closely, you could hear some of the themes that we've had. So microplastics, plastics, lead, no level of lead being safe, PFAS, neonicotinoids, tire chemicals, a number of contaminants, but also looking at some of our land issues with CREP and peat ground and trying to look at how we can maximize some of the federal money. Hearing all of those, they're combined into $47.5 million that is resting on the bottom line above the 5% reserve that has generally been held for the legacy dollars. The legacy amendment was passed in 2008, and clean water was a key component of that. I think each of these components within this appropriation bill meets the standard of the Constitution. And more importantly, these are pressing issues that need attention. We're looking at problem solving here. Problem solving that can work on specific pollutants, but preventing pollution in the future. Trying to get a better handle on these contaminants and where they're impacting. I just want to focus a little bit on the microplastics. Today, some of you may have seen new research that shows that plastic is in our blood. Human blood contains microplastics. We've tried 3 years ago to pass appropriations looking at microplastics. And we're back again today because as we searched, we couldn't even find a definition in statute for plastics in general, much less microplastics or nanoplastics. So these appropriations, Minnesota has a great deal of water quality monitoring going on. There are existing networks where dollars could be spent on trying to get a handle on how much plastic is in our water. And if it's in our water, it can get in us and all the things that we treasure. PFAS, we've been hearing about PFAS now for a couple of decades. And yes, we have the court settlement. But as time goes on from the court settlement, we see that there are more issues of PFAS showing up, the latest being PFAS and smelt on Lake Superior. So to help protect Minnesotans, we need to be looking and complementing and supplementing those existing PFAS work to provide assurance for Minnesotans about their water. The peatland issue helps out not only with water quality, but with climate change. Recent studies have shown that the carbon degradation in peatlands can have a great impact, greater than many impacts on climate change, as that carbon is released into the atmosphere, carbon dioxide is released in the atmosphere. So using the existing model with CREP, and this is new, not supplanting, but new, trying to use CREP to enhance and get federal dollars for peatlands work and for regular CREP. Metropolitan Council and the Public Facilities Authority, grants for lead service lines. Thank you, Representative Jordan, for your leadership on this over the last couple years. I want to point out that our work on this is not limited to the Clean Water Fund. Legislators have the ability to multitask, and we can put appropriations in the Clean Water Fund, in the general fund, in our target, and capital investment, and general obligation bonds, and the federal money. Lead service lines, lead in our drinking water is such a critical thing. We need to do what we can to make sure that we are replacing those service lines and helping out Minnesotans. Finally, the University of Minnesota, the Tiger Chemicals. This is one appropriation that was heard in LCCMR. It is important, something we don't think about. This was submitted as a direction last year because we couldn't get the appropriation. Some things we don't always think about may have impacts on our environment and subsequently us because we are part of the environment. So I would ask for your support for this bill as amended and send it to Legacy so that we can work on problem solving with water quality.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. And we did get the walkthrough from Mr. Hagemeyer, so now we'll open it up for member questions. Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Hansen, for the walkthrough. It would be nice to get some agency feedback, if that's okay. I'd be interested in hearing what their thoughts are. And then I have some more questions and comments, but I see that Bob Myers here, John Jasky's here. I also see Tom Johnson's here from MPCA. So if those folks would be interested, I'd sure be grateful for their input.
Sure, let's start with Assistant Commissioner Meyer. We'll just go alphabetical order, starting with DNR.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. For the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. We're still going through the delete all amendment and assessing the different appropriations that are there and the work that is to be done with those dollars. I will point out that on the peatlands issue, there are substantial work that the department has done. Most of the peat resources in the state are school trust fund lands. The legislature actually designated 50,000 acres of peatlands in the Big Bog Rec area as school trust fund lands many years ago. One of the biggest investments we could make regarding peatlands would be to purchase them from the trust so they are not placed under the pressures of generating revenue that all of us as fiduciaries to the trust hold. So I will just leave my comments at that. And as we talk about peat, we do have substantial work that we've done. We know where the resources are, and protecting them is important as they are a great, great piece of the climate change puzzle that needs to be protected. But one of the biggest, fastest things we could do would be to work with the trust and take that school trust fund status off of those peatlands. So I want to thank Representative Hansen for bringing these issues forward to us, and we look forward to working with the committee as this moves forward. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Mr. Jasky next, if you're available to pipe in on that one.
Yeah, good afternoon, Madam Chair. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you, Representative Hansen, for putting the bill together. We've got two items in there, at least in direct approach, or a couple of indirect items, too. And Mr. Meyer mentioned the peatland piece, which has, you know, some analysis, but also then one of them is for the easements on some of those areas to protect them. As he described, you know, those that are at risk, and of course they aren't all at risk, right? We'd have to do some kind of an assessment to target the areas where there is the greatest risk for some disruption to the peat, basically, right? These are, you know, tens of thousands of year old systems. And so many of them had been altered in some cases too already. And we've done some work to restore them in some places already, basically by plugging or blocking ditches and re-wetting that material and then protecting it with a conservation easement. So it's been done. It's proven it works. As to the CREP item, Representative Hansen asked, you know, what we have available under the federal agreement. This is an agreement that the state of Minnesota via the governor has signed with the USDA secretary. That agreement has an acre cap of 60,000 acres. That was, you know, the maximum, and we currently anticipate with the current state funding about somewhere in the 42 to 45,000 acres is where we would top out with the current funding. And so this would be additional to that. So we would move us further towards that maximum that we can achieve with that agreement. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jasky. And then finally, Tom Johnson from MPCA, if you can just introduce yourself for us for the record and then provide your comments.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tom Johnson, Government Relations Director with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Overall, I would like to echo the appreciation for Representative Hansen putting this together. Certainly we appreciate the author's interest and the committee's interest in a lot of these emerged contaminants, you know, PFAS, microplastics, lead. These are certainly very important issues, and we are appreciative that there's an interest in investing in those. I think the one specific item I'd like to note is just the $45,000 appropriated in Subdivision 3. This would just be challenging. Contributing to this report would be challenging. As we only have a couple of wetland experts, then they are stretched to capacity currently, and 45,000 is not necessarily enough to hire somebody, but it is, you know, that's, I think, the one item that I would put out there. But we're very happy to continue to work with the author and the committee on this moving forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Representative Heintzman, did you have others you wanted to hear from, or is that a good enough response to your first question there?
Oh, Madam Chair, thank you. I may have questions that require additional input from testifiers, but at the moment, just a couple of comments, and then I'll start with my questions. The Environment Committee, this committee, Finance and Policy Committee, has the jurisdiction to go ahead and write this language. I think it's completely appropriate that this committee is to state that this committee is fully capable of spending the full $47 million plus without any input from the Clean Water Council. And it appears that that's exactly what we're doing. In case the public isn't processing or following, I should say, maybe it's a better way of saying it, if case the public isn't following, there is significantly more money available in the last forecast than was anticipated, exactly the money, as it appears, the amount of money that's being spent in this bill. And the Clean Water Council has not made a recommendation as to how that should be spent. Now, that being said, this committee can certainly hear legislation like this and propose spending. But it's something that should at least be noted. They have not made a recommendation as to how to disperse those or recommend that the $47 million be dispersed. And typically that is the scenario. So I am wondering how the amounts were decided on, Representative Hansen. The agencies didn't mention any of their, at least not to me, maybe they did to others, but I didn't hear them saying in their testimony today if the amounts that were arrived at for each of the categories affecting their operations, if that was something that they suggested or is that something that others have suggested? I'm just wondering where those numbers came from.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Heintzman. So when you look at the appropriations, they fall generally into two categories. The largest ones are the lead service lines and the CREP slash PEAK appropriations. So that was the first priority. We had gone through the appropriations of roughly $2 million to each of the agencies for each of the components other than that. And so therefore the 7665 is what was left over. There are two differences to that. One is the U of M research on tire chemicals. That is the amount that is in the LCCMR bill. I'm putting it in here so it travels two places because of its importance. In addition, the $5 million on overall plastics and microplastics, that is the amount that was in the bill that was introduced, I believe, last year and in 2019. And then finally, there's $500,000 in here for the Minnesota Conservation Corps. And I think on prior testimony last year on what they can and cannot do if they're responding to emergencies relating to floods and stream bank erosion, that is probably their capacity on what they could take. So that is how those numbers were arrived at, Representative Heintzman.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, I did see the numbers, so I'm aware of the way that it's being spent. I was wondering how those numbers were arrived at, but that's okay. It sounds like this is something that you put together, Representative Hansen, and that's fine. But at least, you know, it's something that the public should understand is that these numbers did not come from the agencies and requests were not submitted to you. This is something that that you created. So that's important, I think, to note. I'm not going to be a no vote, or I'm not going to be a yes vote, excuse me, today. I'll be a no vote, but you know, it may be over the next few weeks we see that some of these things are things that have to be moving through in
the process in some way, shape, or form. So I guess we'll be tracking that and seeing where the best and highest use is for this additional $47 million that hasn't been. We haven't seen a recommendation from the Clean Water Council on, which of course is the traditional path for how these dollars are spent, legacy money specifically in the clean water appropriation segment of that money. So we'll talk more. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen.
We thought you were going to be joining us there for a moment, Representative Heinzman. So it's okay. The water's fine to step into. It's okay. And yes, I did write this. It was not brought to me by the agencies or anyone else. I should point out that if the Clean Water Council, if this waited until their request for proposals and their normal procedure, that probably would not occur until next fall. We would adjourn before there could likely be an extensive review with their efforts. And then we would be looking at some of these appropriations possibly not occurring until the end of May of 2023. The issues with lead service lines and with CREP on enhancing or in supplementing federal money, as well as the PFAS issue, the plastics issue, the lead issue, are all pressing. And I don't believe we have time to wait a year for process to occur. As legislators, we can make that decision and be accountable to the voters for that decision. I'm fully prepared to do that.
Representative Becker, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this goes to Chair Hansen. On lines 2.1 to 2.3 on the DE, it directs MPCA to collect lead sinkers and other activities to improve water quality. What examples or what are those other activities may be, dear Chair Hansen?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Backer. The Get the Lead Out program exists, so some of that collection involves promotion. It involves setting up the sites. So that other activities is, as my intent, is under the collection of those lead sinkers. It's not just the collection. You've got to promote it. You've got to collect it. You've got to have the disposal. So it's involved with that. It's not, I think you're, well, maybe I should ask you, are you thinking it's something else? I'm focusing, it's my intent that it's involved with the collection, both up to the collection and after the collection on proper disposal of the lead.
Representative Becker?
That's a fair, reasonable request. I just wanted to know, because it sounds like that this bill pretty much has originated from your efforts, and so what other activities may be, because as we know, if we don't define words have meaning, does other activities talk about waste in septic systems or lead in septic system? I just clarification, I think as this moves forward, we might want to clarify those other activities and so forth. So that would be my recommendation for Chair Hansen, because we can't have this fa-fa land what other activities are. And at the end of the day, we got to define those issues. So I was just wondering what you're thinking of other activities was. And it sounds to me what you're thinking is other activities leads to specifically the involvement of removing lead and that there it doesn't talk about other minerals or other compounds or anything like that.
And when you, Madam Chair,
Hansen.
And when you collect the lead, you have to properly dispose of it. So I'm open to clarifying that, Representative Backer. I think that's a good catch, and I'd rather have clarity there than leave it up to confusion.
Representative Backer, anything else?
I had another question. One other question, Mr. Chair, is, this is a pretty good chunk of money, okay? And for this to be spent, it's got to be done in a short period of time, it seems like. Do we know that these organizations that we have listed here, Bowser, $7.665 million, Met Council, $7.665 million, can they spend this money? Because we don't want this to be, but these are funds from hardworking Minnesotans from their efforts. We want to make sure that they're being prudently spent. So it seems like a lot of money. You know, I can't even shop that fast. I'm having fun there, of course. But what's your thoughts with that, Chair Hansen?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Backer. My understanding is these appropriations would last for 4 years. I could have Mr. Hagemeyer or Ms. Taylor reference that. I think specifically on Bowser and the Met Council PFAs, and I could maybe have Chair Lee talk a little bit about federal funds or Representative Jordan, because I think there's some timelines involved there, both on capital projects, but also on the service lines. On Bowser, it's my understanding there's a different end date on that, so I would refer to Mr. Jashke, to Director Jashke, to clarify when that ends, and I also believe there's a backlog of interest as well.
Director Jashke, why don't you address the Bowser piece?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, John Jashke, Executive Director, Board of Water and Soil Resources. Yes, we have an agreement with USDA, which is ultimately a 10-year agreement. The way it's worked is that as long as there are funds available on either side, the funds remain available for either side, right? So the federal government's obligated to move forward with their funding if the state has funding. And as these funds are available, typically, as Representative Hansen said, for 4 years, that would be fully sufficient to spend it.
And then I don't know, did you want Mr. Hagemeyer or Ms. Taylor to jump in and confirm that deadline?
Maybe just to get that on the record so nonpartisan staff has clarified it would be helpful.
Yeah, not sure who wants to take that, Mr. Hagemeyer or Ms. Taylor, about the deadline for using the funds. See Ms. Taylor. Ms. Taylor has unmuted.
Madam Chair, at the bottom of the amendment, it points to the availability that was kind of set up last time, and if I could just pull this up, it would the fiscal year 2023 appropriations are available until June 30th, or they're able to be extended for federal funding, and then there's also specific provisions providing additional availability in that. So,
thank you, Ms. Taylor. Representative Backer, did you have anything else? Any other questions?
I'll just do a closing. My big thing, of course, Chair Hansen and Madam Chair, is, of course, that we're not wasting the money. We want to utilize it. You have different views of using the money than our side would, but still at the end of the day, we want to be prudent. So I do appreciate you taking that friendly suggestion about other activities to clarify that stronger. And that's all I have. Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Hansen.
Any other member questions or comments? I'm not. Oh, Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and Madam Chair, I'm sorry. And to Chair Hansen's point, so the funding that we have available in there for the Met Council and for the Public Facilities Authority for members who understand is that over the next 5 years, the state of Minnesota will be receiving $43 million for lead service line replacement. And of that $43 million, 49% can be used for principal forgiveness or as grants, and the other 51% is for loan. And so the intent there is to make sure that this funding, first supplement the funding for the lead service line replacement so that none of the costs will be to the taxpayer of the state of Minnesota. You know, in talking to my city, they have mentioned that to replace a lead service line, it costs anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 per line. And, you know, having heard from the bill that Representative Jordan have introduced and heard, and the Capital Investment Committee, we heard from the city of Pipestone where the mayor was unaware of, you know, some of these federal requirements around lead and copper rule and doing the inventory work to remove, you know, the lead service line. And so I think it is crucial for all of us to start thinking about, you know, how do we prepare our cities, whether they're big or small throughout the entire state, to make sure that they understand the extent of the issue with lead service lines so that we can actually go in there and, you know, replaces on their behalf so that they don't have to spend, you know, their money on this. You know, when you think about that $5,000 to $7,000, I don't think that many of our residents have that available one time for them to do the work. And so, Chair Hansen, I appreciate the effort and the amount that you have put in there to help all Minnesotans.
Representative Lee, appreciate the temporary promotion there, but I don't want the speaker job. Don't tell her that, but she'll know that. Representative Lippert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Both of us are on our way out the door, so I don't know how much more promotion we're going to get. But I just want to say quickly to Chair Hansen, I appreciate the emphasis on peatlands in the bill and cultivated peatlands. According to MPCA figures, cultivated peatlands may be emitting as much as 11 million metric tons of CO2 a year, which would put it just behind light-duty trucks, coal, and natural gas in Minnesota, so number four on the list. So we need to be emphasizing addressing peatlands, restoring these peatlands, and supporting farmers as they want to set aside these acres. So appreciate the focus on that in this bill.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I almost said it too. Wow, I don't know, maybe take the hint, Madam Chair, that we all are clamoring for your leadership. But I have a question for the bill's author, Chair Hansen. What would happen if we didn't spend this money this year?
Representative Hansen?
Madam Chair and Representative Jordan, it would sit there on the bottom line along with the 5% reserve, and it would be there until the next legislature, which probably would not get its work done until the end of May, as has been the past practice, or later. And so it likely would not be appropriated until July 1 of 2023.
Representative Jordan, any follow-up?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I think there's a real need for us to move on this money, as demonstrated by your bill with this. I think I've been thinking, everyone in this committee has heard me speak extensively about the need to get rid of lead in our lead service lines. Quick quiz, how much exposure to lead is safe in our drinking water? That's correct, Madam Chair, it's zero. I also been thinking a lot about microplastics on the news that we're now finding microplastics in our blood. I think about what that would mean for babies and for expecting mothers and expecting parents to think about the effects of microplastics in their blood. I also know that a University of Wisconsin study looked at even earthworms in the boundary waters on a portage near Kekakabic Lake, which, if you know anything about the boundary waters, is not a entry point lake. That is a lake deep in the boundary waters. And they found that earthworms deep in the boundary waters have exposure to microplastics. So I think this is too urgent of a bill for us to sit on for another year and a half. We can't wait. Minnesotans can't wait. Our water can't wait. And this is money that Minnesotans specifically wanted to go to clean water. They voted for this overwhelmingly to have the state make these investments in their clean water for fishable, swimmable, drinkable waters. And I really want to thank you for your vision and making sure that happens. Thank you for this bill today.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't going to speak up, but I'm going to have to make a quick comment if that's okay. I'm going to have to point out that there's no deadlines to be met here. If there was some kind of rush to spend this money, we wouldn't have a four-year timeline available to spend. There's no loss of federal match. There's no unmet demand that these dollars have to be spent right now. And it would be very easy for the next process through the Clean Water Council to make a recommendation. And there is a pattern here. We've watched over the last few years as every time
there has been a surplus of dollars. This committee has heard bills to go around that process, which I thought everyone on this committee liked, but maybe not. That's it is what it is, I guess. And here we are pretending as though there's some kind of urgency and that the process has to be worked around. So, like I said, I didn't want to make that point, but it seems as though over and over we're hearing that there's some kind of pressing issue that has to be addressed right now and that the process doesn't need to be followed. And technically, that's true, but I'm not hearing from agencies that they've been clamoring for these projects as they've been arranged in this language. It does raise questions, and so I have to ask those questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen, did you want to respond to that at all? Otherwise, I'll go to Representative Becker-Finn.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just, for the record, the legislature actually allocating the funds is part of the process. So I just want to be that this isn't going around. We're not going around the process. This is the process. We're engaged in it right now. Thank you.
All right, not seeing any. Oh, Representative Fisher, just about every time I'm about to move on, someone raises their hand. Representative Fisher, go ahead. You're on mute, Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will be real quick. As we hear Representative Heinzman mention that there's no urgency, and I would argue strongly that the urgency is the health of Minnesotans out there. When you have people who have got lead service pipes out there, the quicker we can get money out the door to address those issues, the quicker we can get lead out of the water for the children. And so I would say that's where the urgency is that we do have a health issue out there, and the quicker we can move, the better off we will be as a state.
Any further discussion on the bill? Not seeing any hands going up here. So Representative Hansen, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to clarify a little bit because I think there was some confusion on the peatlands. Representative Liffert talked about cultivated peatlands. And so where I grew up, we had peatland that we owned. We called that itchy dirt because when we would run in that peat ground and then it would get on you, it itched. It itched a lot. That's not why I have the bill, but I just want to point that out that we have some cultivated peat grounds. That peat ground had a large drainage ditch go through it. There are areas throughout the state that aren't wet currently because they were drained. And that if the landowners, not me, but if there were landowners that wanted to put peatland into CREP, it's a voluntary program. CREP is a voluntary program where there are federal dollars. And I think it could do a lot right now on protecting water quality, the side benefit of helping out the climate. In terms of the urgency, I think finding microplastics in human blood is an urgency. I think that lead contamination is an urgency. I think that PFAS in fish is an urgency as well as in us. I think finding it in water is an urgency. If we have the opportunity to help problem solve, if we have that opportunity to problem solve now, why wouldn't we take it rather than wait? Why wouldn't we grasp that chance to make things better? I ask for your support.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 4377, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Legacy Finance Committee. The clerk will take the roll on the motion.
Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz votes aye. Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Lead Heinzman.
No.
Heinzman votes no. Representative Akam.
Aye.
Akam votes aye. Representative Ackland.
Ackland, aye.
Ackland votes aye. Representative Backer.
No.
Backer votes no. Representative Becker-Finn.
Aye.
Becker-Finn votes aye. Representative Ackland.
Aye.
Eklund votes aye. Representative Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher votes aye. Representative Green.
No.
Green votes nay. Representative Igo.
Igo.
Igo votes no. Representative Jordan.
Jordan, aye.
Jordan votes aye. Representative Keeler.
Keeler, aye.
Keeler votes aye. Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Lee votes aye. Representative Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick is excused. Representative Morrison.
Morrison, aye.
Morrison votes aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson votes no.
Nelson votes no. Representative Tice.
Tice votes no.
Tice votes no. All right. Madam Chair, there are 12 ayes and 6 nays.
With 12 ayes and 6 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is on its way to Legacy Finance. Next up, it's Rick Hansen Day today. We have House File 4190, Petroleum Tank Release Cleanup Program Duties Specified and Report Required. Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move that House File 4190 be recommended to be re-referred to the Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee.
Representative Hansen, I believe you have the A2 Author's Amendment. Would you like to move that amendment and explain it for us briefly?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would move the A2 Author's Amendment. If you look at this, this provides some clarifying responsibilities on who does what and how agencies can share information. This bill came as a result of the legislative audit that we had heard about in this committee and in the Audit Commission. And so this language is clarifying, and I'd ask for your support.
Representative Hansen moves the A2 amendment to get the bill in the form the author would like. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the A2 amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I mentioned, to the bill as amended, this is the result of the legislative audit, which was released probably about a month ago. We also heard this in committee. It helps provide clarifying, and I'm just going to walk through my screen here, clarifying information on who does what with the Petroleum Release Compensation Board, provides for consultation between Commerce and MPCA. But most importantly, I want to highlight on line 2.1, develop measurable objectives that will allow the quality of the agency's performance in remediating petroleum contaminated properties to be evaluated and to conduct such evaluations periodically. I think this is an important bill. I know the agency has some disagreements with it, but I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. We do have a couple of testifiers here. First up, I have Kirk Kadelka from MPCA. If you can introduce yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. I appreciate the time. My name is Kirk Kadelka. I'm an assistant commissioner with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I want to thank the author for the conversations on the bill and some of the tweaks that we had suggested have been incorporated into the amendment. We do appreciate that assistance. As we noted during the release of the OLA's program evaluation for the petroleum remediation program, we appreciated their constructive feedback on the program. And as a part of our continuous improvement culture here at MPCA, we'll continue to improve our program and address the OLA recommendations, even without this legislation. However, we have some concerns over parts of the legislative language that will significantly reduce the quality of the improvements we and the legislation hope to achieve. In addition, an unintended consequence will be negative impacts on our ability to address contaminated sites or projects such as our look-back project, which is a type of the work the OLA recommendations and the legislature seeks more of, a qualitative review of our work at sites, contaminated sites. It stems from too short of a timeline and lack of resources for the scope of work required in the report. In addition, there's some language that could be tweaked to help reflect all the issues at play on each of the items mentioned. The good news is these are easily fixable, such as having the report due in 2024 and other wording adjustments. I'll just spend some quick time on some examples. For instance, Clause 2, which is about the potential future risks, is one of those examples of the global issues with the wording too short of a timeline for the scope and not reflecting some of the issues at play. In terms of the too short timelines, 6 months is not enough time to complete this work in a very high-quality manner. So to address this issue, we've mentioned we would be using our existing Future Risk Continuous Improvement Project, which has been selected by staff and supported by our leadership as part of our overall consistency and cleanup effort. This is the consistency and cleanup effort is a continuous improvement project we've been working on for a couple of years now, and we've identified a number of areas, and future risk is one of them. We've already scoped out the work that would need to be done to identify and evaluate all the roles for addressing future risk, and then what time would be needed for looking at improvements. And we see this project being taking a year. In addition to that, we also believe that it doesn't necessarily reflect all of the issues at play here. It focuses only on the MPCA's role in addressing future risk and not looking at the larger system. As we've previously testified, no one single mechanism guarantees complete protection when we're looking at future risk. And that includes just the role of MPCA staff, which is why we believe a belt and suspender approach is needed where multiple mechanisms are much stronger than one alone. And focusing only on the MPCA's decisions won't fully address this issue. The evaluation does need a wider scope, which takes time, but is something that we believe should be done. The other example is that of the consultants. And it also is a reflection in Clause 4 and 5 of these global issues, where, again, the bill is too short of timeline for the scope and has some issues that still need to be discussed. So, for example, in terms of the issues that don't reflect all those at a play, it doesn't recognize that the person or entity that causes the release or spill of petroleum products is ultimately the party to be held responsible or accountable. This really changes the conversation and emphasizes the consultant over the responsible party. The responsible party is ultimately the one that needs to have the work done and follow up with the site investigation and remedial actions. The responsible party enters into a contract with a consultant, and the consultant must adhere to the terms that they sign with that responsible party. And the work orders and plans that are received by the agency not only reflect the consultant's work, but also the wishes of the responsible party. For example, desire not to do additional further corrective actions or limited budget that impacts the number of wells being placed, which then show up in the quality of the report. So it's not necessarily just the consultant's actions. We agree with the OLA and will continue to improve the quality of the work performed by consultants through existing methods, such as our guidance, our training, an example is a consultant's day, and field audit program. In addition, we're working on new ways. That's, for instance, this spring, we launched the first phase of the report evaluation and performance oversight team, also known as a report. It's the start of an effort to improve the quality of the material submitted to consultants. And we're happy to share this information to other data agencies and others to the public to have it available. And this is one of the edits and provisions that were made in the amendment. We appreciate that. However, the language still creates a formal system of grading consultants, which we don't believe is the best use of resources when the accountability rests with the responsible party and could create perceived conflicts of interest with the MPCA. And just in summary, our biggest issue really is with the date and the resources there. We want to make sure that we have high quality end product. Having to do all these items in such a short amount of time will require us to pull this off of our staff, off of other projects, which includes us reviewing contaminated sites, which have statutory deadlines that we have to make, or some of our projects, as I mentioned, our look back program for our gas additives project. And so we do think there are some easy fixes that we're more than happy to continue to work with the author on. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Kodalka. And we do have one more person, Sarah Larson from the MPCA. If you can introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony, we will take member questions after she is done.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have additional testimony. I'm just here for questions from the MPCA.
Sounds good. Thank you. And we also have Judy Randall and Eleanor Berry from the OLA to help answer questions as well. Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't have any questions. I am, you know, reading through the language, and Representative Hansen, I think you're addressing a number of the issues that were brought up in the OLA report. Maybe there's a question about the timeline, but if that's really something that has to be worked out and looked at, I know that that's something that we can do. And with all of the challenges that we face across the state, and I know our agencies are sometimes tasked with things that they don't necessarily always want to have to pursue in the way that the legislature would like, or maybe even the OLA, but I think this is a good accountability bill, and I'll be a yes vote.
Any other questions or comments from members? Representative Hansen, any closing remarks?
I just saw that Auditor Randall looked very eager to jump in, so I want to make sure she's taken her time to be here if she wanted to say a few things about the audit and the bill, referencing it.
Ms. Randall?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hansen for introducing this bill. I'm really just here for questions, and I do want to thank Representative Hansen for introducing language that really completely aligned with our recommendations. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hansen, did you have closing remarks on this one?
I would ask for your support and renew my motion.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 4190, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee. The clerk will take the roll on the motion.
Vice Chair Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz votes aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Representative Heintzman?
Aye.
Heintzman votes aye. Representative Akam?
Aye.
Akam votes aye. Representative Ackland?
Aye.
Ackland votes aye. Representative Backer?
Backer, aye.
Backer votes aye. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn votes aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund votes aye. Representative Fisher?
Fisher, aye.
Fisher votes aye. Representative Green?
Aye.
Green votes aye. Representative Igo?
Igo votes aye.
Igo votes aye. Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Jordan votes aye. Representative Keeler?
Aye.
Keeler votes aye. Representative Lee?
Lee, aye.
Lee votes aye. Representative Lippert?
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick is excused. Representative Morrison?
Morrison, aye.
Morrison votes aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Representative Tice?
Tice votes aye.
Tice votes aye. Madam Chair, there are 18 ayes.
Thank you. With a vote of 18 ayes and zero nays, the strong bipartisan bill is on its way to the Climate Committee. Chair Hansen, anything else you wanted to share with the committee before we wrap up?
If I knew we were going to get done early, I would have scheduled a few more bills. We have a lot of bills that are going to be heard in the next few days. So I ask for your patience. There are going to be some members who are not going to be able to have bills heard, but we are trying to do the best we can to meet the deadline. There are some bills that will have to go to other committees, so stay tuned. We did get approval for committee tomorrow, so we will be hearing bills tomorrow, and we'll be moving forward. So thank you for your patience.
All right, and with no further business, with that, the committee is adjourned.